What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Actually, it's a day off, so we are in our studios. We'll be back at the Houston Methodist Training Center tomorrow. We'll have an opportunity to talk to Cal and Hannah from out there and obviously watch more of practice and hoping to see some things. So what are some of those things that we're hoping to still hoping to see in training camp with the Texans? We have a couple more opportunities here in Houston before they head to the Greenbrier out there in West Virginia, where Payne Pendergast will be out there. Yes, it'll be both Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne out in West Virginia covering your Texans, giving you inside looks and one-on-one conversations with a lot of guys out there. So we'll keep you locked. Yeah, keep it locked here. We'll keep you abreast of everything that's happening there. But what are you still hoping to see before we get there? It is deadline day. Actually, my bad. It's deadline day in Major League Baseball. Your Astros probably need to keep up a little bit. They've made a small move in order to bring in Ramon Urias, who is a utility infielder. He is
can play third.
Can play third. Very good defensively. So that's a guy that's, that's cool. You add into what you need defensively in the infield for the ground ball pitchers that you have. Mm-hmm. But as far as what could happen before 5 p.m. when the trade deadline actually hits, there's been reporting that has associated your Astros with Stephen Kwan recently, the left-handed left fielder or outfielder that's currently with the Guardians. You know, really good contact guy, does not whiff, does not strike out very frequently. And a solid, very, very good defender. So although, or at least really good, solid defender.
Yeah.
At the very least, I don't want to overstate it just in case. But no, pretty good defender there as well. So that one has kind of gotten our interest. But some other guys that they've been associated with, a couple of Cardinals, where you talk about Brendan Donovan, Lars Nootbaar, all those guys have kind of come up as names. And recently, they were yesterday, Dylan Cease was a big name that was supposedly they were interested in. That one might have cooled a little bit, but Sandy Alcantara of the Marlins as a pitcher has been one that that seems like they are interested in. Maybe they could run through the car wash and get him back to his, Cy Young type play. And but those have supposedly cooled. Who had that? Was it Feinsand that I said had that?
Yeah.
That those guys, they're still interested in those, but they're maybe looking a little bit more to back in the bullpen help as of right now.
And tick, 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 right? 4 hours, thereabouts?
That's what it seems like.
Yeah, 4 hours before the deadline. So obviously stay tuned because we'll let you know what happens, but nothing confirmed just yet.
All right, so what are you still hoping to see from the Texans at training camp? We've gotten some insights into some things. We've got our pet cat counter still going. I know that I've been very fortunate to see a little bit from the young defensive backs that look like they might be some level of contributor this year as opposed to projects, which I've been excited about. But we've seen a little bit from Cade Stover. That's been fun. But what are the things that you're still hoping to get some insight in to learn more about? 713-572-4610.
First two things that come to mind have been they've been on my mind since before camp started as being important for this offense.
And you haven't gotten much information to that.
I've gotten some, and that's what I was gonna say. I want Ariante Ursery to go ahead and take hold of this thing. It seems like he's taking hold of the right tackle position. He's gone some to left tackle. It seems like he's starting to assert himself. Maybe earn the job, so to speak. And that would be a good thing if you have that big dude, kind of locking up that right tackle. We don't know until the season starts just how good he can be, but I think it would be good if your second round pick, really establishes himself as, oh yeah, that's our right tackle.
And as much as maybe we might have started to see it, I think we might be seeing that in the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. As on Tuesday, sitting down with Payne and Pendergast was the GM of this team, Nick Caserio. This is what he said when it came to when we can expect the offensive line shuffling, or if we can continue to expect that, or when that might kind of slow down.
Yeah, at some point that'll probably declare itself a little bit more. Probably once we get through another week here, and then maybe right before Minnesota or after Minnesota, somewhere in there. At some point, if we think this is what the group is going to be, then all right, we're going to go ahead and let those guys work together as much as possible. The reality is we probably have 7 or 8 players that are going to factor in to the actual game day roster. Mm-hmm. So you just want to make sure that whoever those players are going to be, they get enough reps. But we've talked about this. We feel like we have a lot of depth and a lot of competition at multiple spots. Some of it's starting to declare itself a little bit. You know, we have honestly 4 or 5 starting tackles or starting level tackles. Blake Fisher, I know Trent's not practicing yet. Even if you were to take Titus out from guard and put them outside. So feel like we have decent depth there. And then inside, we have a number of players, some guys that are center only, some guys that are guard only, some multi-position players inside. So I think these next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll see a little bit more and we'll have a better idea and better understanding. So really, at some point, all these guys are probably end up playing with one another. Yeah. Eventually, you want to get to the point where whoever the 5 are, from a communication standpoint, you want to be able to go out there and practice as much as possible in anticipation of being ready to go for the Rams.
That's the biggest thing, right? You want to get those 5, get the reps, new offense, learn each other, get it going. I feel like, and we've talked about this, you know, I feel you're good at left guard, right guard, probably left tackle. Let's get right tackle settled up, and the competition will be center.
Real quick, because there's a couple of things. I did want to note the 3 names that he noted were very interesting ones from my perspective.
Backups, depth.
But before we even get there, you mentioned left tackle as one of those places that it feels like we're steady at. We haven't talked a lot about Cam Robinson, and Cam Robinson hasn't even gotten like the full range of reps as well, because I think Arionte Ursary has been, they've been trying to get him a lot of reps, and I imagine that they view the younger guy needing to get up to speed, especially if he's maybe going to be a swing tackle possibly. What have you felt that you've seen from Cam Robinson? Because I saw someone else, you know, another reporter, I think it might have been Jonathan Alexander, saying that, you know, he's been out there, it hasn't been particularly bad, but he also hasn't like won a ton out there. What have you seen from Cam Robinson in your perspective?
Well, the best news with Cam Robinson is we haven't seen him called out or badly beaten, you know, consistently.
Above what everybody else has gotten beaten.
They've all lost. I mean, we're talking about the offense here. But, you know, it's not like, oh, another false start or, oh, boy, he got worked. You know, they get beat. So I think it's kind of like the less you hear from him, probably the better, like they say about offensive linemen. But I think he'll be the left tackle. You know, obviously left guard is going to be Laken Tomlinson. I think that's established, or relatively so.
Feels very much so.
Then Titus. And then if you can lock up, you know, maybe even Trent Brown. He mentioned Trent Brown, but certainly.
He mentioned Blake Fisher, Trent Brown, and even Titus moving off of right guard at times. And I was like, we're talking about tackles that could start. Those are not the ones that I think of here.
That's why I think he was talking about depth. I think he was talking about depth. The right tackle to me. And that's where it started, is let's go ahead and lock that position up, Arionte, what we want to see moving forward in these next few days. Something else I want to see is another little sort of, it's got my attention. It's tight end position. The tight end position, I'm liking what I'm seeing. It hasn't been outstanding necessarily, but it's been good. And it's been my favorite thing is it's been multiple guys not just getting reps, you know, with the first and second team, but lining up outside, lining up inside, lining up tight to the line, lining up in the backfield. Tight end to me is going to be really, really big for this squad.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know how much we've seen a level of breakthrough, and they've kind of had a good, a little bit of a good poker face on this. Maybe not necessarily Casario, who had some pretty high praise for Cade when he was that his opening presser that he had for Cade.
And D'Amico did too.
D'Amico did too. This was Casario with Payne and Pendergast again on Tuesday talking about Cade Stover.
In all seriousness, Cade's worked really hard in the offseason. Cade's mindset and his mentality, he cares a lot about football. He's very competitive. He's very tough. He's very smart. And as a player who hasn't played the position for that long, you know, it's only been a handful of years, so he continues to get better. You've seen some tangible improvements, and you know he's going from year 1 to year 2. The hope is that younger players, you see a little bit of a growth or evolution, but you know, we're glad Cade's on the team. I know we talked about him when we drafted him, that we were excited to get him on the team, and he just keeps his mouth shut. He works very, very hard. He cares a lot about football. When he's not here, he's probably on his farm baling hay, and because that's the type of mentality that he possesses. But you know, excited about where he is, and hopefully his trajectory continues to move ahead.
Cade Stover, the talk of the position group. for sure, but we'll see, you know, how it plays out. You know, everybody's been talking a lot. We've talked a lot about Cade Stover. He doesn't say much. He doesn't say a lot.
Yeah, no.
I went through the cuts of Figgy, and I was like, whew, I don't know if we can use any of these, but he had a really cool line. Go ahead.
It goes the other way. I feel like we could use all of them very, very quickly without spending very much time.
Yeah, I think you're right. But my favorite was, how did he put it? You know, I think he said, they asked him about what he does on the farm. He says, feed the cows, work out, catch balls. Then do it again the next day.
That's right. That's right. Keep it nice and simple, Cade Stover. So, no, I think that there still remains to be something to be seen there. A fair question that comes in on the text line from the 832. What's the status of the kicking game? And
good question.
That is a good question. We saw some field goals get put up. Was that yesterday mm-hmm. or the day before? Okay,
no,
good.
Yesterday.
I'm trying to make sure that they're not running together. But yesterday, six for six. Was Kyemi Fairbairn from various distances. I think there was a three from the 50-yard mm-hmm. range, and I think a couple more from the 40-yard range. And if memory serves, there might have been like 137.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to recall if I got that exact. But knocked all of them through.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like there was really any difficulty with that. Good distance. Looked like he was splitting it from my perspective. Of course, we were off to the side of that particular goalpost, so I didn't have the best view. But it seemed like the referees that were there actually calling the field goal mm-hmm. good. Did not hesitate to call it good.
Yeah.
So I think I would lean into the idea that Kyemi Fairbairn has been good from what I could tell. Of course, again, we'll see more of those, and maybe we get a little bit of a better feel when you actually get into some games mm-hmm. because I think for him, the biggest distance is the 6 inches between the ears, right?
Like, yeah.
When the time comes up where we need you to hit them, is that going? But for the time being, from what we could tell, looks good, I think.
What about you? You know, in terms of I mentioned right tackle and tight ends. That you really want to see more progress, you know, some sort of impression moving forward.
I mean, offensive line remains one of those things where can we see if they hold on to this? Good question that comes in. Christian Harris, I would like to see him out here, but I think that they have some things that in place to mitigate that. I want to see a level of confidence with some of these running backs. You remember my mm-hmm. pet cat? I drafted Woody Marks. It's been fine. Like, he's been good catch radius when he's had an opportunity. I haven't seen, like, he hasn't jumped off the page to me. Maybe mm-hmm. I've not been paying enough attention to him in particular. It feels like the guys who felt notable
mm-hmm.
is, in a somewhat, like, looking for explosive way, Nick Chubb. And then Juwan Jordan, interestingly enough. I don't know if I'm just, like,
he's always there.
Am I drinking Kool-Aid?
No, he's always kind of like the preseason, you know, hey, keep an eye on Juwan Jordan. You know, like that kind of thing.
So, yeah, I still want to see, like, that's one of the places we want to see depth, and I would very much like it. Maybe this is a stupid thing to ask. Can I just see Dameon Pierce out here doing this?
That's not stupid. Yes, just do that. And you've been, well, not to put words in your mouth, I think you've been sort of impressed with Jacob Johnson, the fullback / tight end / whatever he is.
And I don't, maybe it's just more of how they intend to use him, or maybe we're already seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like he's just kind of a tight end mm-hmm. in this space. And I don't expect them, of course, they're continuing to add into the offense, but I don't know that I can recall a lot of just like true fullback type formations that I've seen Jakob Johnson. I see him lined up in line. I mm-hmm. see him lined up as like kind of an H-back. Like I've seen some of those things. Haven't seen kind of an I formation or anything like that you would typically imagine with a fullback. So I do wonder, is he just kind of going to be a tight end by a fullback name, or are we going to see some of those kind of big opportunities for him? But I do like him. I don't know that I'm like, I need to see more from Jakob Johnson. I get it. I see it. It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Are you wrong? Or do you see it any
No, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to see, how they use him. Maybe, you know, tomorrow or Saturday, you know, we'll be able to get a better beat on that.
Yeah. So excited to see more of this team starting tomorrow when they get out there for more training camp practice. But of course, I didn't want to harp on the thing that you already mentioned, but it's just going to be offensive mm-hmm. line. Like, you need to develop quicker. You need to develop to a higher degree. And I think also, to be fair, CJ Stroud and, like, you know, feeling more comfortable. Like, maybe that's what it is. Like,
yeah,
and I don't know how
we're in the lead on that, are we?
I don't know how to quantify it. But
we both agreed in different ways. Like, it's just he's trying to think. He's trying to get it done. He's gotten better. I thought he had, you know, pretty good day on Tuesday.
Yes.
But
he was threading the needle on Wednesday as well.
Was he?
He was in some people. unless I'm mixing days.
You're mixing which is, days.
Okay.
Like, remember, belt to ass.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. From the 832, should have had all your pet cats on defense, more specifically the secondary,
yeah.
And you'd be up. All right. Let's give a little pet cat update since we're here in this moment. I think right now Lopez has points, although we need to look at 140. I want to do a pet cat audit, Figgy, so that we can actually get this right. Because I don't know that we got, I don't think we gave any points yesterday.
Yeah, there's
people
one.
All over the place. You got one for who? For Noel? I think it might have been Noel.
It might have been.
I think Noel is carrying your team. You have Jalen Noel. You have Nick Chubb. You have Arthur Maulet. Arthur Maulet has not even given you an opportunity to score points
jersey.
There.
It's kind of hard to score points when you're not in there.
Figgy might deserve another one seeing Ariante Ursary consistently hold down like a starting right tackle position or right tackle position with the first group. I think he might need another point on there because he has Ursary. Jake Andrews, I don't know what to do with Jake Andrews. He's kind of continuing to flip back and forth with that with Patterson on that first line and then Christian Kirk there. And then my team, Woody Marks, Brevin Jordan, Jalen Smith. All my points, I think, are Jalen Smith points.
I think all of Figgy's points are Ursary.
That might be right. Yeah. But yes, we have some of the defensive backfield. Mm-hmm. I think I have the defensive backfield guy that has been gotten the most points. You have Arthur Maulet, who I'm still – that's another one, actually. I'm mm-hmm. glad that we got to this point. I want to see him with the physicality, with the non-contact jersey, because I think his position matters a lot, mm-hmm. being a backup for Jalen Petrie. Probably of all the guys on the defense, the one that's the hardest to have somebody just slide into. But there you go. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, this is when we hand things over to our guy Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us, man?
Yeah, so Shannon Sharp spoke for the first time yesterday since being fired from ESPN. I'll let you know what he had to say. Plus, Gilbert Arenas arrested on Fed charges. I got the details for that, too.
Okay, let's get into that next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, it's the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Thursday. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. A lot went on yesterday. I'm going to start with this one, though. Shannon Sharp, officially fired from ESPN. Now, if you didn't know, he had a lawsuit going on with the young lady. I want to say, how old is she? She's like 20 years old?
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I forgot.
She was, pretty young. And by the way, settled for, what, $20 million?
Is that what it was?
I think it was $20 million.
Jeez.
And she decided she was going to retire from OnlyFans. She put it out there.
I wonder why.
Gee, I wonder why, too. But anywho, he spoke on the Nightcap, on his Nightcap show. That's his production. Mm-hmm. So he still got that. And he actually addressed what ESPN did, which was fire him. And this is what he had to say.
Obviously, I'm sure everybody's heard the news by now that I will not be returning to ESPN. I found out this information a little earlier in the week. And really, the only thing that I really ask is, like, guys, could we wait until Monday? My brother's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I really wanted to be about him, and I wanted to be about my family. I know this would, I said, this coming out would overshadow everything that he's worked his entire life for. And unfortunately, you know, it didn't happen that way. And so, as I told him, as I profusely apologized to him earlier today, he said, bro, stop apologizing. You don't have to apologize. I'm your big bro. I'm going to love you regardless. We all make mistakes. And he says, bro, I love you. So I'm done with this. You're done with it too.
So he went on to say ESPN did some good for me, all that type of stuff. But do you think it's fair for him to kind of say, hey, can y'all wait till next week? After my brother getting the Hall of Fame, because I don't want this.
I actually think that's the least they could have done. I mean, they're bitter. And he cost them in a number of ways. But, you know, I mean, the guy's, he's already out. You told him earlier in the week, you know, just let his brother have his moment.
I think it's fair for him to ask. I also think it's fair for them to be like, no, not really.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's fine.
I totally agree, you know, but I'm saying I think it could have been the least they could have. You know what? We'll wait. What's going to kill him?
I also don't know that this is actually going to hit the same way that Shannon is setting up to be like, oh, man, people are not going to appreciate Sterling Sharpe going in because it's going to be – I think the Hall of Fame is going to be like a thing that happens in a way where we're going to appreciate the guys that are going in regardless.
I don't
know that he's going to overshadow
it. I was going to say, do you think that's going to really overshadow his moment?
I don't think by itself it's going to overshadow his moment. Where I was going with it is I fully expect Shannon Sharpe to speak. And if this happens before he speaks and you see him on your TV, you know, at his brother's induction, then it will over. People will be thinking, oh, man, he just got fired, you know, and all this other stuff. That's not by itself. If he's not even there or whatever, not shown, it wouldn't overshadow it, you know. But what I'm saying, I fully expect him to be in the mix there in terms of his speaker or whatever.
So we're saying that getting fired is the overshadowing part and it's not the settling a rape allegation?
No, I'm saying
that's what I'm saying. It's like that we already in the place where it's going to overshadow.
It comes back up in your face because you realize, oh yeah, he just got fired because of blah, 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 blah. The least you could have done is because don't you think he's going to speak? He's going to be certainly shown and be a part of it.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be there.
Like if he's not probably, there, yeah. I'm with you. If he's not there, I'm with you. Who cares? You know, it's his moment. Sterling Sharpe's going to have the Hall of Fame. Nobody's going to really be. It's not going to overshadow anything. But once you see him there, you know, after all this, then I think it would.
I'm kind of wondering if they had some type. Did he have some type of conversation with the ESPN execs where?
Yeah.
They were like, Shannon, it's unfortunate. We sorry that happened to you. We love you, but we gonna have to fire you for this.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he's a little upset that they, you know, he wanted to wait till later on. And they decided to put it out there now where you're just like, damn,
mm-hmm.
I kind of thought we had some. I thought y'all rocked with me a little bit and kind of see my brother getting into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, maybe y'all's gonna push it back and at least do me a little favor.
Right.
Here's the thing also. I think we're kind of setting this up as if ESPN put out a press release. This is reported by Andrew Marchand of The Athletic, who found out about this. So as much as we're like, well, you know, and look, there was someone at ESPN that was the source of this, of course, but I don't know that this was like an institutional, we're not going to abide by this. It got out. Somebody reported it once they got the information.
Let me push back on that a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, go ahead. You got it.
Okay. When Andrew Marchand reports it, it's in effect a press release. Because it's like, you know, Woj or Schefter.
Oh, on the veracity of it, sure. But yeah. I mean,
so if Marshawn got it, he got it from ESPN.
Well, he got it from someone at ESPN. Yes, I don't know that had to be.
They were giving it to Andrew. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a press release that's released, you know, like literally as a press release. But if you're giving it to Andrew Marchand, you know exactly what you're doing.
I'm not certain I 100%. Completely agree with that. 100%. It's quite possible. Adam I'm not Schefter saying that you're wrong.
Adam Schefter doesn't do that much work. I mean, he does a lot of work. I'm saying as much as what he gets.
I'm saying
neither does Andrew Marchand.
The get does not have to be like from the decision makers. It could just be someone who knows that he's not about to work here.
Could be.
And then once it's out there, then it's like, all right, well, it's out there.
Yeah.
But they also could have waited to next week to officially fire him or something like that. I wonder if that's where he's going with it. Because once they fire him, it's going to get out there.
Yeah.
But they was going to wait until at least next week because they didn't necessarily have to fire
whenever.
Yeah. It wasn't like a rush to do it.
Mm-hmm. But so you're saying, keep me on the payroll until my brother go in the Hall. No, that's a little bit tough to see.
It sounds like that's what he was trying to say.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to say I would have let her go regardless for all that stuff. But yeah. All right, as I continue on the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610, some more news dropped yesterday. And one former All-Star, former NBA All-Star, Gilbert Arenas, he was arrested yesterday. And that kind of...
Speeding?
No, it was speeding. He might have been speeding with some playing cards or something, shuffling.
Mm-hmm.
But he was among six men arrested Wednesday on a federal indictment that they operated a legal gambling business at a California mansion And we're going to go to ABC News with this whole story. And it kind of get a little wild.
Former NBA star Gilbert Arenas has been charged with allegedly running a high-end illegal gambling business out of a Los Angeles mansion where high-stakes poker games are played.
What federal prosecutors are alleging is that he has been running this high-level illegal poker operation out of a home in the Encino area of L.A., and not just having a couple of buddies come by and play poker, but that this was a very well-planned-out, well-organized operation with five other co-conspirators involved in this, including a member of an Israeli transnational crime group, according to federal prosecutors. But they say that this was something where they had hired women who would help out in the operation and give what they call companionship to those who were playing in the game, that they had armed security guards, that they had chefs that were hired for all of these, and that a lot of money was involved. They had security guards to make sure the wrong people weren't getting into all of this. They had a rake, a fee, the house charges. Ooh. So they say this was well organized. If convicted, everybody involved could get 5 years in federal prison.
Man.
He's done. That has all the elements.
You want to know the additional cherry on top of the bleep sundae that is there?
What's that?
Apparently, he's also accused of lying to the feds.
Yeah. That is the cherry on top. Because, like, every element is there. It was high end. There is organized crime figures that are involved, much less him becoming one in the course of this. But what are you saying? An Israeli crime figure? There's that.
And I believe that was said, yes.
He's charging a lot of money. He's bringing in whatever you want to call it, women.
Comfort. Companionship.
Companionship. Chefs. Security guards.
In a biblical sense.
All this other thing. Every element of you are going up the river to the Fed building is there.
Now, he did post it on Twitter yesterday. I guess he got bonded out. And he actually posted it on his Twitter, just kind of walking down the stairs from the building, and he said, "I'm back on these streets. This ain't got bleep to do with me. Just rented the house. Wasn't part."
But then it has something to do with
it. I'm like, brother, do you have a lawyer?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, don't
shut the hell up.
Quiet, brother.
Shut the hell up, man. What are you doing?
I just rented it.
No chill gill, dog.
But it doesn't have anything to me.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, Figgy. Like, I don't think that's an adequate defense. Now, I ain't nobody's lawyer. I ain't getting no JD nowhere. So I'm sure there's people listening that could maybe make some ideas on what would be an effective defense in this case. But the thing I do know, especially when you're dealing with the feds, you better zip your lips.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't think you saying they ain't got nothing to do with me, I don't think that's all. I don't think that's going to work for keeping you out of the slammer, man.
Nope.
Nah, I think you got to come with a little more evidence and all that stuff, because usually when stuff like that happens, you got to prove your innocence. Mm. You got to prove it.
Yeah.
No, the burden of proof is on the state.
Yeah.
Well, the state. Yeah.
Look, you damn near guilty till innocent.
No, he is in the middle of an organized crime collar, so to speak.
And the tough thing about it is, all right, you just rented the house, all right, right? Mm-hmm. They got Arenas branding on all this, which, again, maybe they just used your name. It's possible.
It was called the Arenas Poker Club.
Dog, they had so many things. Like, you telling me they running all this in your house, and you ain't know not none of it. You ain't know that there was.
And it wasn't my house. Right. That wasn't my house.
I was renting it.
Like, brother, what is wrong with you, man?
And apparently, they've got, if you don't know, when the feds come knocking, they know.
They got everything.
They know. They're just trying to see how honest you want
to be. They've been watching you for like 10 years.
Because supposedly they have a text from April of 2022 that from Arenas to one of his co-conspirators, it seems like, quote, "I have an idea that might bring in a new players for you. I'm going to do a YouTube episode of me at the game, but blur out players and girls that don't want to be seen for my channel." Close quote. Dog, that's.
Yeah.
Are you taking notes on a criminal bleeping conspiracy?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Man.
Woo. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of that, I'm gonna stick around with this situation. It's all going to tie in. So apparently somebody was happy yesterday and they said it felt like it was their birthday.
Oh, wow.
So one, Kwame Brown. Remember Kwame
the
Brown?
Kwame Brown?
Yeah.
The Kwame Brown?
The Kwame Brown.
Yeah.
So these two things happened with Shannon Sharpe and Gilbert Arenas. And he had this to say about all that drama going on.
Doing all that bipping and bapping. He a drunk. He a this. He a that. Talking about my mama, my family. And I told people one thing. I said, this is a stupid motherfucker. He gonna self-sabotage. He's a dummy. And look at this stupid motherfucker. Today is like my motherfucking birthday. Shannon Sharpe, your thick tongue ass pie.
Good Lord.
All the motherfuckers that talked about my mama's son. Shannon Sharpe, your thick tongue ass pie. Damn, Gil, you in the slammer. If you run your mouth, see, you facing about 15 years, 5 years on each charge, right? But your dumb ass was playing cards with the Israeli mob. So now, you're going to have to make a decision. You can't snitch because your dumb ass say you know Chill Gill, so you can't chill. So you gotta fight this one out. You got to go for what you know. You can't snitch. So the feds going to put pressure on your little ass because they know you don't want to be up in them cell doing the little ditty.
Wow.
Your dad can't tell on them Israelis.
He went on for about 5 minutes.
I bet he did.
Yeah.
Look, being a hater, there's haters in all walks of life. And being a hater, I would not advise you go down that lane. Mm-hmm. However, I've got to admit, when the sun shines on a hater, it's got to feel incredible. He had to have a blast.
He might be the worst person to go against, man. Because once you lose or something happened to you.
He destroys you.
Oh, man.
He destroys
that's
you.
Somebody. If he worked here and I lost the bet to him, I would probably quit my job just to avoid him.
He
won't let you live it down.
He's wildly entertaining. Like, just wildly entertaining. Here's the other part, Reggie. He actually gave pretty good advice there. Like, he gave really good advice to Gilbert
Arenas. And he's been saying it for a long time, too, because they've been going, they had their back and forth with both of them.
Yeah.
And it's none worse than when somebody like that is right.
Man, I could listen to him all. Well, we have listened to a lot of him, but.
Yeah.
Whew. All right, man. What a day. What a day indeed. And obviously giving you all the updates for it. It's your man, Figgy Fig, intrepid reporter extraordinaire and producer of In the Loop. You catch him in the Figgy's mixtape, 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get ready to hand things over to the fellas of The Drive, Clint and Ron. But before that, I do want to get back to our pet cat rankings. Let's make sure that we're all good with this, but check in with some of the guys that we were hoping to see some things from in training camp. We'll do that next. Yeah, been a fun day here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610, even though Texans not practicing today. And it's been fun, nonetheless, as it is a deadline day.
Things are happening.
Major League Baseball, things are happening. In the span of a few minutes in that break, we went into the break, and I was looking at my phone, as we all do, and I was like, oh, okay, looks like the Rangers and the Pirates might be in conversation to have, you know, for the Rangers to acquire David Bednar, who's a very good closer and reliever in this league from the Pirates. I was like, oh, man, don't want that to happen in the division, right? Don't want to give the Rangers more ammo and more firepower, rather, to possibly try and return. Within a couple minutes, Yankees have acquired David Bednar from the Pirates. And I was
well,
like,
that was quick.
I was like, good, not the Rangers. Wait a minute. The Yankees are also in the AL, and we have to contend with them. So, things are happening.
Well, and not only are things are happening, we still have a little over 3 hours, I guess.
That is correct.
Until it's done.
3 hours, 10 minutes.
But up until this moment, you're really seeing the aggressive teams do aggress. You know who the aggressive teams are,
and those teams are
Mariners.
Yeah,
they're on your heels.
It was just Eugenio Suarez. Now that's going to be a big guy.
But they're
in their
also
lineup,
in on, yeah. On Willie Castro. I think is one of the ones I said.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And so they are sort of attempting to make things happen. The Yankees have been in on a couple. They were in on the pitcher that went to the Padres. I can't remember. But either way, like the Yankees have been aggressive. Tigers have been aggressive. Astros have made the one move. I said,
and that's a relatively small move. Like that's the thing is yeah. There's the Astros names have been thrown out with a lot of different types of players,
but no consummation.
Yeah, the only consummation is that has been a weird recurring conversation in this particular episode of In the Loop. That's weird. but the only one that they actually got was a small piece to this point, which is Ramon Urias, who is a utility infielder, nice defensive player, good glove. So that does help continue to solidify your infield defense, which you need, right, with the ground ballers that you have. However, the big things that we were talking about coming into the trade deadline.
Correa.
Offense, giving you a bat, particularly left-handed bat, to maybe help you throw out some lineups where you can dictate some things to opposing pitchers and opposing staffs. You haven't done that just yet. There's names that are out there, Stephen Kwan being the latest one that is a possibility, Lars Nootbaar being a name, Brendan Rodgers, not the right guy, Brendan Donovan. Names that are out there have not done anything. Starting pitching, possibly. There have been names that have been out there talking, like Dylan Cease. I don't think that one's going anywhere personally. Sandy Alcantara, which maybe. Those are out there, but nothing really seems like it's coming home to roost just yet. Like you mentioned, still 3 hours to go, but hey, you need to actually make something happen because if we end up at the deadline and it really is just Ramon Urias, with all due respect to him, I don't think that you did anything to help yourself be a better, have a better chance of winning.
Yeah,
a title.
Because basically, if that's the case, and I don't expect it to end that way. By the way, let's be clear: the Astros clearly are trying to make something happen. They just have not been as aggressive as some of these other teams. You know, making it happen earlier in the day, giving up a lot, and that's part of it as well. We mentioned the Correa thing. You know, the Astros. What are you going to give up for all these guys? You know, they're mentioned with middle relief or late inning relief. They're mentioned with starting pitching. They're mentioned with, Correa, and they already did Urias and all that. What other teams can offer more? Because the Astros don't have that much in all these instances.
Yeah, and I think maybe that also plays into the reason why they haven't done anything. It's possible that this is just deadline and the scuttlebutt is more interesting than what actually happens. But it is also possible that they have to wait for things to kind of settle because they are not coming in with the big bank account, and the big war chest. They kind of have to wait for things to settle and go, okay, this is where we can strike now that all the frenzy is slowing down. So we'll continue to watch that space. I know that our guys in the loop when it comes to, Clint, Ron, and T-Mill will be watching the space for things. And yes, 832, thanks for reminding me with the Mariners because I was not giving them their due, even though I don't really want to. They did also acquire Josh Naylor. Early in the week, the first
and the pitcher I was thinking of was Mason Miller, one of my favorite pitchers.
That's right, who went to the Padres.
Went to the Padres. Yankees were in on him. So, like, aggressively making things shake. Doesn't mean that the Astros are not going to, but right now, you just sort of get happy feet a little bit, a little nervous.
Yeah. All right. So, again, we'll continue to watch that space right here on Sports Radio 610, especially once we hand things off to the drive. Before we get there, though, we've been doing this thing as a lens to watch camp for us personally, especially some places that we were anticipating, hopefully, to get some information and some answers. And those are our pet cats. We each drafted three pet cats on this Texans team to kind of look through. And I just wanted to do a little bit of audit because right now, Lopez's pet cat team has the most points. But I also want to make sure that we have allocated this properly. As your team, Lopez consists of who again?
Jalen Knoll, Nick Chubb, Arthur Mollett.
And then Figgy's team consists of Ariante Ursery, Jake Andrews, and Christian Kirk. And my personal team consists of Woody Marks, the running back, Brevin Jordan, the tight end, and Jalen Smith. So you have 4 points. Two of us have 3 points. And it feels like it's largely been the standouts, one for each of us, which has been nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yours, Jalen Knoll, has been the guy that has gotten a lot of love. Nick Chubb, I do wonder if at any point.
I got one. We got Nick Chubb early, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Arthur Millett hasn't had the opportunity to get out there. I think that you're well situated because I think he has a chance. We know that he's been a pretty good cornerback in this league. I just really want to see him because the role that he's going to have to stand in is not your typical slot role, which he's been good at. There's a level of almost like a linebacker that he still needs to pick up. So I want to see that physicality there for him. But I think you could gain more points there. How do you feel about Figgy's team right now? Because Urshery, it does feel like he is leading for that opportunity of starting at right tackle right now.
Yeah, and I think it's happened more so in the last couple of days that he's starting to get that role more secure. Figgy's team, though, Christian Kirk, you know, we need to keep an eye on him because I think he's been pretty consistent. Maybe not that splash that would earn a point or the comment, you know, from the head coach or whatever, or a big play, but he's one to watch on that team from what we've seen so far. And really, you know, you and me, it's been Jalen Knoll and I guess, you know, you've kind of had Jalen Smith.
Yeah. J-Rock has been the one. Yeah. And I've been actually very, very impressed with him. Like, I think he has two of my 3 points. And I wonder if he might do it again because he's had big days where he takes the football away himself, as it feels like everybody on the defense does. Mm-hmm. The one who's been kind of quiet for me, Brevin Jordan got a little love early, but I think the tight ends have just kind of been rotating. And maybe we ask our guys as they slide in, Clinton Ron, how they feel about our pet cats here. But Woody Marks, I feel like he – have I put a point like I don't think so. His catch radius has been really good, but I don't know. I haven't felt like really jazzed about Woody Marks yet. I'm interested in maybe what Clint feels about that as well. But have you felt in a similar way as I have there?
Well, I feel like right now they're just going to be leaning on Nick Chubb as much as they can. Yeah. Even I don't mean leaning like in a game. I'm saying I think they, you know, everybody else is just sort of rotating behind him, and of course no Damian Pierce, but Jawar Jordan, you know, is getting some rotation back there. But in terms of like consistency, it'd probably be more just of what we've seen Nick Chubb.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.